Production. Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 63 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about waypoint managers. It's a big can of worms to open, but we're gonna crack it open and we're going to talk about it. So welcome everybody to this podcast. We are live. Our phone number is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID, as always, is 7525. You can get to our chat room by going to geocachingpodcast.info and clicking the Join Now to Participate button. And our show notes can also be found at geocachingpodcast.info. If you have anything to put in during our conversation here, go ahead and hit the request to talk in our chat room, and that'll put you in the queue. If you're just on the phone, go ahead and hit the star T or star 8 to request to talk, and that'll get you in the queue to talk too. So welcome back to the show, co-hosts here. Monty, how you been doing?
I've been doing pretty good. With the weather like it is, haven't been doing any caching. We've been actually hitting some triple-digit temperatures down here, so caching right now is out. But all in all, doing pretty good. Heard last week's show, the one that I missed. Congratulations to Daryl and Dree on their 1,500-plus finds.
Way to go. Thank you very much. Yeah, we had a blast doing that. Just, you know, it's kind of cool going event caching. But ourselves, we didn't go caching at all since last week's show. I spent the majority of the weekend playing catch-up and recovering from the laptop hard drive crash that took me out just before Geo Woodstock.
Ouch.
But, yeah. So, you know, we're just getting back up to speed, and that's kind of nice having a week to just kind of do that. But X-Punk X, I understand that you had some activity this weekend.
Yes, I did. We placed a new cache, and that was placed yesterday, and that's GC1CXHQ. And we decided to, there was a local cacher here in our area who pretty much was the first to find hound on everything. Like, he could guarantee that he was going to be, you know, the first log. He's going to be first to find. If he wasn't first to find for some odd reason, he would be second. And so we decided, he moved away a while ago. And one of the cemeteries that he had a cache in was set empty for a long time. So I thought, what better way to place a cache than to put it in honor of him, since he wasn't here any longer. So we did that, and that was approved yesterday. I also had an FTF on Monday also, GC1CVMP, and that was, I saw it published the night before, and it was in the town that I work in. So on my way in, I went ahead and hit it. I think I signed the log at 5:54 a.m. Shortly after that, at about 6:45, someone signed it, said that, oh man, I thought that I was going to get in early and get it. And I said, guess you got to get up a little bit earlier than that. That's actually about it for me. Monty, did you have anything else to put back in?
Yeah, that GC number for the one you hid, is that supposed to be short for X-Punk XH headquarters? Who'd you have to bribe for that one?
You know, I sent Jeremy Irish, an ammo can. No, just kidding. No, just happened to
just
grab.
Just the luck of the draw.
Yes. So, yeah, it was luck of the draw.
Well, we also have a voicemail that I figured we should play now from I'm Frog 2002, and this is following his stay out at the Geo Woodstock 6. So let's go ahead and hear that.
Hey guys, this is I'm Frog 2002, and I promised that I'd call in at the original stash plaque. Unfortunately, there is no cell reception for about a mile around there, it seems. So I'm calling you from fairly close to it still. We found it. Nice easy cache right off the road. Stocked with lots of travel bugs in the ammo can. Pretty cool to have been there. So, thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, Frog. Calling that in. If you guys want to send any voicemail to us to be played on the show, We would love to hear that, and our phone number is 206-350-3GPS. It's a fairly easy one to remember, and again, that's 206-350-3GPS. So if you, like we said before, that's just a voicemail. There's nothing, you're not going to have any of us answer. So if you have any milestones or anything that you want to put in to our show, go ahead and call that number. We'd love to hear from you. In our news section, we've got a couple different items we'd like to touch tonight. I heard from a person who emailed me and said that they're creating a charity path tag. Tracy's taking pre-orders right now for a charity path tag to raise money to help the victims of China's earthquake. The path tag forum is at the path tag forum, pathtags.com. We'll put a show note link at geocachingpodcast.info for that specific forum thread. The funds will benefit the Red Cross. The path tags are going to be $6, and including shipping and handling, and anywhere in the world. The tags will be ordered on June 1st. That's what she originally said, but then she said that since we were mentioning on this show, she'd bump it back a little bit. So go ahead and get that in. If you want to do that, get it in quick. The design, she said, is based on the traditional Chinese paper cutting and features of a crane. The crane is a symbol of longevity, and the word is Chinese character for longevity, and longevity is what she hopes for everyone involved in the earthquake. She says no credit cards because, you know, she's not a business, and we'll go ahead and put her contact email in our chat room. I'm assuming that her contact info is probably also in the forums. I don't know if she wants me to post that on our website, so I won't go ahead and do that, but I'll go ahead and put that in our chat room. So you guys, if you're here, want to get that. If not, go ahead and hit the path tags forum that we're going to link to at geocachingpodcast.info.
Well, also, many of you might have noticed that geocaching.com had a bunch of little changes that went in Friday. And some of those include the pocket query searches, which cross the 180-degree longitude, no longer break. They had fixed an exploit on the WAP site, which compromised unpublished caches, which I haven't had a chance to test, but I'm assuming that means that we're not going to be able to post notes or found logs to those caches that haven't been published yet, which was kind of nice for those event caches that hadn't actually been posted yet. They returned the appropriate number of cache attributes to event and pseudo cache pages. The topo zone maps on the cache pages have been replaced with my topo maps. The disabled caches are now properly displayed on the geocaching Google Map list. Usernames with spaces in front of them have all had their spaces removed. So if you had one of those, you might have some issues logging in. Just go ahead and remove the space in front and try that again. Now, there is a complete list that you can find in the GC forums, and we'll post that note on the show notes as well.
Okay. We also had another cacher that emailed us, hoping I'm pronouncing this right, Jeremy Gray, emailed about his attempt also to lose weight through geocaching. And you can check out his blog, which will also get posted in the show notes.
Yeah, and I want to mention, too, I had been chatting back and forth with him since he sent us that email. And I told him, you know, make sure you check out our issue of our episode that we talked with Blue Depth. I just lost his name. Blue Depth about caching like that. And he said, actually, that's the reason that, you know, it kind of got him started in doing this weight loss program. So basically what he's doing in that blog is detailing and journaling his weight loss through caching. So with that, that brings us to our topic of the night, Waypoint Managers.
Now, Waypoint Manager is an application which helps you work with the waypoints from geocaching.com and load them into your GPSR. We're not including any of the paperless helper applications such as CacheMate in this overview, but listen for a future show on paperless caching to cover those. This will be a brief overview of many of the options for the popular computing platforms. We simply don't have enough time in this format to go into depth on any of these products. While we hope to hit as many as possible, we are likely to have missed a few. Please let us know.
Yeah, and we're looking at options today for Mac and Windows operating systems, and we're going to touch a tad bit on Linux because we have in our chat room tonight, Fidian, who created some tools for that. So, well, if he can type into our forum a little bit about his later on, we'll go ahead and do that too. The first one we're going to talk about is the DeLorme Topo, and this is for DeLorme GPSRs. It comes bundled. It's a bundled software, and it comes with the PN20, and it's $99.95 separately. The current version is 7.0. System requirements are a P3 900 megahertz with 128 meg RAM, a DVD ROM drive, and Windows 2000 XP or Vista. So if you want to check that out, if you want to check any of these out, we'll have links to these in our show notes. Also, the next one that I want to hit on, and like we said, this is just a real brief overview of it. We're not really going to touch too much on the features. So with that, our next one is EasyGPS, and Monty Ryder has used this and still uses it as his big brother to the and uses its big brother, Expert GPS. Registration and upgrade is well worth it, he says. The EasyGPS, though, is freeware, and the current version on it is version 2.85, and the system requirements on that are XP or Vista. The next one that's out there that we're going to talk about is GeoBuddy. It's a shareware program. It's $34.95. Its current version is 2.88. System requirements are Windows 2000, XP, or Vista. The next one is Geocache Manager, and it comes with the Magellan Explorist only. It comes bundled, and Magellan no longer supports it. So I would definitely say it's probably not a good way to go unless you're already using it. Then you probably could. The next one is one that I use, and it takes some getting used to, and I'll just say that because that's the one that I'm using. But it's GSAC, which is the Geocaching Swiss Army Knife, and it's going to be shareware. It's $25. The current version is 7.21. System requirements are 98ME 2000. XP or Vista. Like I said, it's a little bit hard to get used to at first because there's just so much you can do with it, but it's like Monty said with the Expert GPS, this is well worth the $25. You won't regret it if you end up paying for it. In fact, when I first started with it, I was just going to, you know, try it out and not buy it, you know, just for a while. And then once the nag screens got so nagging, I said, I can't take this anymore. I have to have this software. So I went ahead and purchased it. The next one is iCache, and it's the letter I and then cache, and it's from what I hear, it's a fairly new one. It's freeware. Its system requirements are Windows 98, ME, Windows 2000 or XP, and from what we've seen, it's kind of more like a journal type thing rather than waypoint management, sending it to and from your GPS. The last one we're going to touch about for Windows is the Map Source, which is from Garmin, and it comes bundled with the Garmin models, and with most GPSRs too. The current version is 6.137. System requirements on it are Windows 2000, or XP, or Vista. And I use this on and off for other things, not necessarily waypoint management, but I do for some routes and things like that too. And so Geek Boy from Illinois also says now that Magellan has replaced Geocache Navigator with Vantage Point for their newer GPSR line. So thank you, Geek Boy, for pointing that out. That's pretty much it. Covers it for, like I said, this is a very, very, very brief kind of overview about what's out there if you don't really know what's out there for the Windows XP. So I would suggest that if you have, or not XP, but the Windows line of PCs. So if you have one of those, I would suggest going out and checking out some of that software. Daryl, you are a Mac user. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Macs?
All right. Well, I've taken a look at a bunch of them, and really at this point, we're down to about four major projects to look at. The first one I'm going to mention is GeoJournal, which is a $25 shareware program, currently at version 1.1.05. which works on any Mac OS 10.5 machine, or 10.4 machine, sorry, but that's not really documented. I know that it works on 10.4. It may actually go back to even 10.3. But some of the highlights on this one is that it's an excellent way to keep track of your finds and includes photos and provides mapping through Google Maps and also allows through trip planning through an itinerary. Unfortunately, I didn't have a whole lot of time to play with this one before the trial expired, but it is one of the most expensive Mac-based Waypoint managers, and I'm probably not going to be buying a license for that one. Now, there is a new player on the market, which we mentioned on some of our earlier shows, called GeoObsession, and it's freeware for now at least. Current version is 0.5.0, works on macOS 10.4 better, and it's free, so you can't beat the price. Does support CacheMate exports. It's really simple to use. Supports map throughs through map views through Google Maps. Has a built-in web browser to view the cache pages, but it is still in beta, and I've crashed it quite a few times in my little trials. Now, probably the best of the Mac cache programs right now is actually Mac Caching, and it's a shareware program for $15. Now, it's currently working on Mac OS 10.4 and better, but I did use it under 10.3. So the support isn't really there, so you might have problems, but if you're still on a 10.3 flavor, you download it, give it a try. It's, you know, got a trial period that you can do anyway. But it does have some really nice features that are only available after you register, including the smart cache list. Now, it also supports to exports of the data for paperless caching to both CacheMate and the iPod. And it's really easy to use, doesn't take a whole lot of time. And with those smart cache lists, you can get some of the more advanced things going, but that takes a little bit of time to get used to. Not a whole lot of time. And the mapping... Go ahead.
I was just going to interrupt you, and I was going to say, too, that we also interviewed the creator of Mac Caching on one of our previous shows. I don't actually offhand have the number right now of the episode, but you can go back onto our website and get all of that information if you want to go ahead and check that out even further in depth.
Yeah, and that was still when it was pre-version 1, and they actually have gone to, I believe it's 1.1.2 now, and they do have a new beta out. Most of these are actually using, actually all of them that I mentioned so far are using the GPS Babel as the back end. So pretty much all of them are going to have the same basic engine to talk to the GPSRs. Now, I should probably mention that GeoJournal actually has done some special support for the Colorados. But getting back to Mac Caching, they also do have the Google Maps view, which unfortunately I've actually had some issues with lately, but theirs is pretty cool because it actually has this big black arrow that has the GC number over the cache. So when you're looking at those on screen, it is really easy to identify what those caches are. Now, one of the problems that I have run into, though, aside from the Google Maps that hasn't been working quite right, is that I can't create new caches within any of these programs. To send, I have to do a GPX file. So that's kind of where the next one comes in, which is Project Bobcat from Garmin. It is freeware for now, only works on Garmin GPSRs, but its current version is 2.0.0.4 beta, and it works with any macOS 10.4 machine that has 512 megs of RAM or better. And essentially, this is the Mac equivalent to the Garmin software, the MapSource software for Windows, and does all the same kind of functions, but it's a free program to use. It supports the routes and maps to the Garmin GPSRs, and you have that map view without an online connection. So for those of us who might be in the field using a MacBook or something like that, this will give us the option to look at those caches on the screen, you know, nice big screen, without having some kind of Wi-Fi or EVDO connection. It is still in beta. I haven't had any crashes with it to speak of, so it's been fairly stable. It doesn't support any of the paperless options. It does not have any detailed information that gets exported to the waypoints on the GPS, and it is only for the Garmins. Now, X-Punk X, you want to talk a little bit about the Lennox tools?
Yeah. One of our listeners, Fidian, who actually is in the chat room right now, but can't really do any chatting with us on the phone because he said his screaming kids would overtake the mic. But he sent us some tools that he has created that basically do some waypoint management, and he can filter them. He said it supports only rudimentary filters based on the extended attributes like difficulty, terrain, size, etc. They are all command line tools. So he says too that one of the programs he uses was GPX write rewrite, and it mimics the functionality in GStack. So what we're gonna do is I will put a list of instructions for stuff he basically does sometimes when he uses these tools. I'll put a link to that, and also where anyone who uses Linux can get this software at. So I do use Linux sometimes, but unfortunately at the moment I don't have any installation of it installed anywhere, so I can't test that out. But he says he likes it and he created them and uses it all the time. So it's one of those things that if you're a Linux guru and you like doing a lot of command line stuff, that'd be awesome. He says also says if there's any GUI writers out there, go ahead and contact him because he would love to have it in a GUI. So with that wraps up our topic tonight on Waypoint Managers. If you want to join us next week, we're going to be talking about caching logs. This will be an interesting topic. So we look forward to seeing everybody next week, which is Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the TalkShoe service, which you can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, or you can just sign right on at TalkShoe.com. Our show notes can be found, and all of the links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line at 206-350-3GPS any time of the day or night, and you can leave us a voicemail. With that, go get them, and I'm on the kick of being FTFs, so we've had a lot lately, so go get them and have fun trying to get FTFs this week. See you next Tuesday for Caching Logs.